Listen, breastfeed your baby. Don't breastfeed your baby. It doesn't matter. Just watch Suits on USA. Characters welcome. Okay? Okay.
Okay. I'm Maya.
I'm Eric.
This is The End of the World as We Know It, a podcast about being first-time parents.
Yeah.
We, as of today, have a four-week-old baby.
That's true.
So I thought we could talk about what the first month has been like for us.
Okay. Before we get started, I wanted to issue an apology to everyone who listens to this podcast.
And to me.
Well, it didn't seem to be an issue for you, but upon listening to this, re-listening or listening back to the podcast, the number of times that I say the word like...
Oh, me too.
...is completely unacceptable. So I just wanted to apologize, and I want everyone to know that going forward, I will try to do better. And now you're going to hear me speak in an incredibly slow and stilted way so that I don't say. When we were in the car listening to it, it got in the way of me appreciating my brilliance, first of all. But it also made me think, is there something wrong with me? Do I say the word like all the time because I'm somehow trying to soften my opinion or something?
I think you say like a lot because you're like thinking while you're saying a sentence.
I'm just giving myself some space.
You use it like, yeah.
I'm going to be like a British person, and I'm going to replace it with erm.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
That's not what, sure. I say like and a lot.
Okay. Well, maybe we can.
At least the things you say are funny, as we keep hearing from people who write in to tell us how funny you and only you are. No comments on my personality.
Also, I definitely laugh at my own jokes way too much.
Yeah. But I think people find that funny.
I'm going to try to cool it on that and the word like.
I think what you've been doing is working for people. So I don't know that I would police it too much.
Okay.
We've been watching Couples Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that to our audience, you're like the psycho?
I certainly hope not. That guy is a real piece of work.
If you haven't seen it yet, watch the show Couples Therapy. It's on what, Showtime or something?
Yeah.
And the guy in the first season called Mao is, I think, a literal psychopath.
Yeah.
Probably laughs at his own jokes too.
Definitely.
So just saying.
Do you think I'm like him?
In that way? That you laugh at your own jokes? Yeah.
Okay. That's upsetting.
Anyway, let's talk about how the first month has been.
Yeah. I think that there is some overlap between us watching Couples Therapy and how the first month is going.
Which is?
Well, I was going to say that there is a couple on the show that they have a small arc for two episodes where they are talking about wanting to have a child.
And trying to get pregnant.
And trying to get pregnant and then feeling certain that they're pregnant and then not being pregnant.
Yeah.
Because you're watching therapy, it's presented in a way that this couple seems, maybe one half of the couple seems to think that it's going to solve a lot of their problems.
Yeah.
And that was very triggering for me to watch.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a baby because we thought it would fix our problems.
Right. But the idea that...
That it would make things better.
Yeah. The idea that a baby would subtract problems and not add problems made me want to scream at the TV.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, it's this super sort of obnoxious woman who has decided, even though her partner doesn't want a baby, that what they need is a baby. And she has decided out of nowhere that it's the only thing that matters to her and that she'll be happy when she has a baby. And when she finds out she's not pregnant, she's devastated. And I do feel like that's been a big theme for us for the last month of like, we've decided that it's our life's mission to make sure that everyone we know knows what they're getting into before they have a baby.
Yeah.
Cause we did not, cause nobody told us.
Yeah.
All anyone told us was it'll be the hardest thing you ever do, but also the most rewarding. What does that mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that about anything.
Yeah. Running a marathon.
Yeah.
Going to grad school.
Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Flying if you're scared of flying.
Doing a pull-up.
Buying a house.
Yeah.
Reading a really long book.
All stupid, difficult things.
But yeah, I think that's generally... how we've been feeling is, well, maybe we should like give an update on things that we talked about in the last episode because it's been a few weeks and then we can kind of move into the new stuff.
Are we going to circle back on that? Because I had a little bit of sort of a thought about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so and in this episode of Couples Therapy,
this episode is actually sponsored by Couples Therapy on Showtime. Season 2 is out now.
Yeah. Does Showtime have like a slogan or something? Oh God, I said like.
Showtime. It's showtime. Is that funny?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Somebody email us and say that I'm funny.
My experience, and I was told this before our child was born, that like having a child, God, why do I keep saying like, that having a child is an ego leveling experience.
Right. Right.
And it's weird when you listen to someone talk about it, expecting it to be the opposite of that.
I think that's the feeling we're having, is watching someone who is about to go through it.
Yeah.
And is so wrong about everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's okay. Everybody is. We were.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knows what they're getting into, but it's pretty excruciating watching somebody go through that process and not being able to like shake them and be like, run in the other direction.
Yeah. Like this person on the, the person on the TV show had a near nervous breakdown because their kitchen remodel was taking too long.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to figure out where appliances should go and stuff.
Yeah.
How is that person?
Good luck with a baby.
Yeah. How's that person going to handle getting up 8 times in the middle of the night to change a diaper when it needs to
She's
be done?
She's not going to like it. I'll tell you that.
It seems like it's not going to work out well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just some thoughts that I had.
Yeah. That was just because our sponsor is Couples Therapy. We just had to have some native ad placement in the episode and talk about the show, but really you should watch it. It's on Showtime.
Yeah. You guys would not believe how much money we're getting paid by Showtime to talk about Couples Therapy on Showtime, streaming now in season 2.
Yeah.
So, check it out on Showtime, Couples Therapy. Okay, we just hit the minimum that we were supposed to talk about couples therapy, and you guys just made the first payment on my boat. Thank you.
Okay, so I wanted to circle back on some of the stuff we talked about in our last episode.
Yes.
Because the last time we recorded, if you remember, Eric, we were a week in.
Mm-hmm.
We were extremely tired. That was I'm sorry, because it was kind of the boring, low energy episode.
Yes.
I did not really enjoy listening to that. It was kind of a slog to get through.
Yeah.
But we were talking about things like breastfeeding was really hard and confusing and painful.
Uh-huh.
We weren't sleeping at all. Yep. I was depressed. Although listening back to the episode, I don't think I did a good job capturing how depressed I was, because it sounded sort of like, sometimes I'm a little sad, and I was crying nonstop for a week or two.
Yeah.
That made you really concerned that I was going to hurt myself or the baby, I think.
If you're binging these episodes and you just finished the last one, please know that we were way more depressed than we sounded, right?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, please know that we feel better now.
We were lying to you, the listeners, so that you wouldn't be scared and alarmed.
Yeah.
You should be scared. We were really upset. Remember when I said I wasn't crying in the bathroom?
Were you crying in the
bathroom? I was crying in the bathroom.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But are you crying in the bathroom nowadays?
No.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not. I'm watching wood turning videos on YouTube.
In the bathroom?
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. That's an improvement. I think generally speaking, I feel like things have gone in a positive direction.
Largely, yes.
Yeah. I don't want to like mislead anybody. It's not like we're a month in and now things are easy, but I do think that we've started figuring our baby out a tiny bit. And I hesitate to even say that, because I know all the people who have older kids are like, just fucking wait until 4 months and he'll have a sleeper. Like, you don't know anything. I get it. He's going to keep changing. But for now, we can tell a little bit, like, if he's hungry, if he needs a diaper change, if he's tired. So that's gotten a little bit easier.
Yeah. We haven't figured him out, but we have learned how to respond to his various needs when they occur.
Right. We've narrowed it down to a few things and it feels less overwhelming. I feel like when we had just gotten home, I got really panicky when he would cry because I didn't know what to do. And it just felt like, oh, he might be crying forever.
Yeah.
And we've actually had a good couple of days with him. Like the past couple days, he's been either sleeping a lot or he's been awake and alert and just kind of happy.
Yeah.
And that's actually been kind of nice, hanging out with him when he's not in a bad mood and he's just like, he's lounging.
It turns out that he really likes to sit on the couch with us and watch Couples Therapy now streaming on Showtime.
Yeah. That's his favorite thing. I don't know what we're going to do when we get through season 2. Gonna have to find a new show on Showtime.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel it, just in general, it's feeling less apocalyptic having a baby around. It's still hard and we're still struggling with the lack of freedom stuff. I think you in particular.
Yeah.
I've just kind of accepted that this is my life right now, I think.
Yeah.
Like I just go to sleep at 7:30 PM and then I sleep all day when the baby's sleeping. And if I'm lucky, I clean the house a little bit and that feels like a good day.
I have accepted it more than I was accepting it in the last episode.
Right. You're not fighting it as much.
Yeah. I feel like, I am learning how much rest I need, and I'm also I'm also adapting. So those, like, I feel like the two, my limits are opening on each end a little bit. You know, I used to need a lot more rest, but I was also unwilling to give myself the time to rest. So now I'm giving myself a little time, but I need a little less.
Right. So at this point, he pretty regularly, like, he wakes up about 3 times during the night. He'll sleep in like 3-hour-ish stretches.
Yeah.
So it's like, we'll put him down. He wakes up at 1-ish. He wakes up at 4:30-ish and then 7:30-ish or 7-ish, which I think is pretty good. I feel like that's better than a lot of newborns, and it's weirdly consistent, or at least it has been the past week or two. But I think at the beginning we were trying to figure out how we could not wake up during the night. And now we're just kind of like, we have to, there's no way around the fact that he has to eat every few hours.
Yeah.
So accepting it definitely helps.
We've accepted our fate.
Also, I just want to be clear. It's not like this has been a linear line in a positive direction.
Definitely,
like,
not.
I think it was maybe 2 or 3 days ago, you were beside yourself with exhaustion and
majorly bad day.
Like, really, I think, considering leaving or...
No, just... It was...
Seemed like you were close to walking out.
It was an extremely dark day. I mean, you really can't overestimate the...
Exhaustion.
The impact that exhaustion has on you.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really starts to twist the way you start thinking about things.
Because you're not just tired. That's the thing. Like, anyone can get through being tired, even a lot tired.
Yeah.
But when you're really sleep deprived for weeks at a time...
Yeah.
You start to go crazy.
Yeah. When you're tired, you're just like, you know, squeak, 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 rub the sleep from your eyes. And you're like, I'm tired. But when you're exhausted, you start getting paranoid. You start, I had a night of like extreme paranoia. And that's when I realized, oh, this is really affecting me mentally.
Yeah. Was that when you kept checking on the baby?
I kept checking on the baby and the dogs.
Oh, right.
Because I was convinced that no one was going to survive the night for some reason.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah, which is great, you know? So then when you're feeling that way, it's really easy to get some shut eye.
Yeah.
So then I laid there in bed and read about the rise of global fascism.
Which did not help.
No, but you know, then I had a stretch of naps for a few days and we're back.
Yeah.
Back in the pocket.
And your nice wife has also been giving you a lot of alone time.
Yes. You've been going way above and beyond.
I'm just trying to keep you from leaving me.
Yes.
Is it working?
Of course.
Okay.
I would never dream of leaving you, but I think the amount that you've been giving me
very generous
slack is very, very generous.
Yeah.
I hope that you are seeing the effort that I'm making, like, throughout the
definitely.
Night when I get up and
I think you're doing
everything.
A great job. Yeah.
But like, if you are a couple that's about to go through this or have just recently gone through this and you're trying to find how to like stay sane, I guess.
Yeah.
I said like again. It really helps to like commit to helping the other person have a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when I really need it, you're pretty good at doing that too. But I also, again, my mom is here and she's really good at noticing when I'm tired and giving me a break. So I feel like that's letting you off the hook a little bit because I have another person here who's giving me a lot of.
And you find these, but you do, that is true. It's very true. But I think, like, you know, even if
this episode is actually sponsored by my mom, who required that we say how great she is for 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Was that funny?
I mean, it's sort of just repeating the same concept from before.
It's only funny when Eric does it.
We should probably have like a pre-production meeting where we talk about these things.
I thought it was better if we just kind of wing it, but maybe not.
Anyway.
Yeah. So the past few days, we've been making sure that you have some alone time. We've had some nice sunny days outside, which really helps.
Yeah. I've been taking the baby first thing in the morning.
That's
and
huge.
Trying to let you sleep in as much as possible.
Yeah. I feel like we've found a pretty good, at least for now, routine of like, I expect to wake up 3 times during the night with the baby. When he wakes up, you get him from his bassinet, you change the diaper, and then you bring him back and I feed him. And then I put him back in his thing. And sometimes that means that I have to stay, like if he doesn't go straight back to sleep, I'm the one who stays up with him for an hour or two.
Yeah.
But then I make up for it in the morning because you get up with him at, you know, 7 or 8, have your coffee, and I get another hour or two of sleep. So I feel like that's working really well for both of us.
Yes, I agree.
But it took, you know, communication and some trial and error.
It took a month.
And a month.
I mean, it doesn't feel like a month, but it's been a month, you know? That's 4 weeks of daily sort of freaking out. And
there was a lot of freaking out.
Yeah.
So generally I think things are getting better. I also realized the other day, I feel like I kind of like him now.
Yeah.
In a way that I didn't before. Like I kind of enjoy hanging out with him when he's awake. And this sounds gross, but like I feel like I am at that point where I kind of miss him when he's sleeping too long.
Okay. That's great.
It just, if I feel like I've been brainwashed, like, you know, that thing that they say happens to moms where it's like, oh, you forget all the trauma and you start just liking your, my mom said the other day that when he's 6 months old, I'm going to forget everything and I'm going to like him so much. I'm going to want to have another baby. Nope. No, thank you. So you want a second kid as soon as possible, right?
No.
You know what's so funny is before we had a baby, I told everybody that I, cause we went through the, you know, the IVF stuff. I told everybody that as soon as it was safe, basically for me to try again, I was going to try again. Cause I wanted them to be close in age. And I know I want a boy and a girl and we have these embryos frozen. And I think it's because it's one of those things where, again, I was so focused on the infertility part of it that I, like, at the time, all I was focused on was just, I want to have kids.
Yes.
And now I'm like seeing the reality of having a kid. And I feel, honestly, I feel like a totally different person. Like I can't put myself, and I think you were saying this the other day too, that like, I don't think either of us can remember who we were before this or why we thought this would be. I can't remember what I thought would happen.
Oh, I know what I was thinking. And I've been thinking about this a lot the last few days. And I confronted this the other day when I had my really dark day. Uh-huh. You know, we were going through, we aggressively pursued having,
which seems weird now, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's funny because how can I phrase these things so that they will not be upsetting? I would not say that I have always looked forward to having a child. Uh-huh. I think that in a previous episode, a metaphor that I used, where we were talking about you potentially having like mom pregnancy hormones bathing your brain. Mm-hmm. I was walking the green mile for 9 months and you were not. And so when I was walking the green mile, walking toward that electric chair, it was like I had another prisoner walking next to me. You, because we were both going through the same thing. We're both headed toward the same end, right? The end of the green mile. Except I'm sort of reckoning with this. I'm looking at that electric chair all the way at the end of the thing. And I got this other prisoner chattering in my ear saying, you know, after the electric chair, I think I might want to try the lethal injection. And I was just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. But the thing that I've been thinking about over the past few days and the thing that I sort of occurred to me on my really dark day, which was 2 days ago, I think during the last, 3 years that we were pursuing this with IUI and IVF and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that comforted me through that experience and the inevitable race toward having a child was that I knew that I was not going to be there raising that child. I knew that future Eric was going to be there. And future Eric is the smartest, most compassionate, most handsome,
capable,
functions on a half hour of sleep at peak performance,
extremely responsible,
just the best person you have ever imagined. Uh-huh. And then you had that baby and he never showed up. Mm-hmm. I was still here.
Did you just say you had that baby? Like, this is my fault?
You had that baby physically.
We had the baby.
I figured the moment you went into labor, I was going to quantum leap out of this body and future Eric was going to arrive.
And you'd be a dad.
He would be a dad.
Oh, right, him, yeah.
I would cease to exist. And I'm here. Mm-hmm. I am.
You survived the electric chair.
I am trapped inside John Malkovich and he has a child. I can't get out of this body.
Right.
I don't know what to do. No. I imagine if you're listening to this, there's got to be a very obvious dissonance in the way that I am experiencing this and have lived my life, right? And I'm just trying to make sense of that for everyone else and myself. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I think I hit rock bottom.
I think so too.
And I'm now...
You're still like in the pit, but you're at least trying to climb out.
Yeah. My back
kind of trying. You're like slowly digging like one handhold with a little spoon or something. Like you're not eager to get out of there.
Like when Bruce Wayne's back is broken and he's like in the bottom of the pit and he has to climb back out so that he can fight Bane or whatever, right?
Right. But
my back is still shattered and right, I'm
exactly.
I'm like, I've made it up to my knees.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around at the walls of the pit and I'm seeing everybody else's cracked off fingernails and stuff. And I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
Is that enough metaphors for everyone? Do you need more?
I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
So you're feeling better.
Yes. That's what I've been trying to say all this, all along.
Well, I think that you're doing a great job, even though you're not future Eric.
Thank you.
And I think that we are both trying to be positive and that is helping a lot.
It is amazing what you are capable of. You.
Me or one?
You and one. You personally capable of amazing things. It's incredible how you rally for these.
Thank you.
For the demands of this child and the child you're married to. But it is kind of amazing what both of us have been able to kind of adapt to on a nightly basis. Just like we both wake up immediately and are communicating with each other. Like who's going to do what, like what's necessary right now.
I think the hardest part for me has been not falling asleep while I'm breastfeeding at 4 o'clock in the morning for 45 minutes, but I haven't fallen asleep yet. Sometimes my eyes close a little.
I never imagined that I would be able to bounce back so quickly from another human being pooping in my hand at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I do feel like we've gotten used to the poop pretty quickly.
Yeah, because what are you going to do?
Yeah, you got to just deal with it.
It just happens.
Yeah. We did have one night the other night where we like knew that he had a dirty diaper and we were like, it's fine.
He seems fine with it.
He can hang out there for a little
bit. If he's cool, we're cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, maybe we should talk about the weird thing he's doing in his sleep now.
Moaning? Just the...
I think grunting?
Yeah.
For just hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the pediatrician about it when we see him this weekend, but it's pretty dramatic.
Seems like it's gas.
I think that's probably what's going on, but it, like even if we burp him, it's like pretty consistent.
Yeah, but like when you take him out of... So he sleeps in a snoo, which is, you know, a space-age device that looks like... It's like where the Cylon thing slept to, you know, tap into the cosmic thread or whatever. Uh-huh. It's like a vat of goo that he of jelly that he sleeps in. No, I'm kidding. It's a little thing that shakes him back and forth and plays some rain sounds or something. But he's strapped into a swaddle,
like really tight,
really tight. Like, but when we take him out of there, whew, I mean, you could play him like a squeeze box. He's just farting for like hours and hours. Yeah. And I think that that's probably why he's grunting in there.
But I think that's a good example of something that like a couple of weeks ago when he was doing that, we were like, oh God, he's awake. We got to get him out, figure out what's going on with him. And now we'll let him grunt in there for 2 hours because we get up and he's still sleeping. So it's like,
yeah,
if he's sleeping, we're sleeping, you know?
Yeah.
Or laying there while he grunts really loudly.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's really weird.
It is a completely different plane of existence. To be in the middle of the night, laying there, listening to your child grunt, knowing that all they want to do is get out of this skin tight sack so they could lift up their knee like they're about to do a can opener and fart for half an hour straight.
That's parenthood.
That is where future Eric is living right now. And he feels shafted.
Okay, well, what else? So we generally like our baby more and have accepted him.
Yeah, his head is starting to look less squished. He's starting to look more like a cute little baby person.
Yeah.
He focuses on things.
Oh yeah, that's been cool. He had what are they called? These like developmental leaps or something.
Yeah.
And he like, we got this app that tells you when the leaps are supposed to happen and you get the app because it warns you, you know, he might have a fussy couple of days, but he'll learn all these new things. And when we were first looking at it, we were kind of like, I don't know if this is bullshit. And I definitely felt like we wouldn't be able to tell one way or another because he's just like a baby who cries all the time.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could really tell when he was going through it. Like his like sleep and crying patterns changed all of a sudden. And he like overnight got all these weird new skills.
Yeah.
Like we could tell the difference in him focusing on stuff. And
like when we turn the TV on, he stares right at it. You should see him watching Ray Donovan now streaming on Showtime.
But yeah, so he went through some stuff and I think that was pretty exciting because for me, at least that felt like the first time where I was like, he is actually going to turn into a person.
Yeah.
He's not going to be this little blob forever. And we, you know, every few weeks or month or whatever, we will get to experience some new stuff. He's been smiling and laughing probably by accident, but it's still really cute when he looks at you and smiles.
Yeah. But they are pretty much just a human jellyfish for like the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it's funny because when we first brought him home and people were like, don't worry, it's just the first month or two that are really hard. Like at that time, you're like, a month or two is nothing. That goes by so quickly. This was definitely the longest 4 weeks of my life. Every day felt like an eternity in that I had to experience it. It was like, we woke up, we took a nap, and then it was time to go to sleep again.
But doesn't it feel like just like one really long week went by?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything we did last weekend?
What's a weekend? I have no concept.
It's the thing that separates weeks. It's a couple of days.
We're just hanging out with a baby all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just drifting
just
in this
endless cycle of feeding and changing and crying and him crying, us crying.
Yeah.
Occasionally we eat a Jersey Mike's sub.
Yeah. And by occasionally you mean once, and by once we mean today. Oh, by the way, I got my second vaccination shot today.
How's it feel? Was that today?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah.
Well, I got my first vaccine yesterday, and that means that my breast milk might be giving vaccines to the baby.
Yeah, or Bill Gates' Microsoft microchips.
Either way.
Either way, I am on board. Yep, I embrace the future.
Me too. Speaking of breastfeeding, there's a segue for you.
Yeah.
I feel like it's gotten a lot better.
In what way?
Since the last time we talked about it on the podcast.
Well, you've been pumping. Were we pumping?
No.
Were you pumping last time? I don't like when people say we when it's not a we thing.
You know what, though? We're parents now, so we have to say all kinds of annoying things.
Can't we just be real?
Sure.
Okay.
You can try.
You pump milk from your breasts.
That was a little too real. we started... I'm sorry. I started pumping.
Yes.
It was great. Our doula came over to check on us and like showed me how to do it. I don't think I would have been able to figure it out without her doing that.
Yeah, it was way more complicated than I expected it to be. There was a series of numbers and dials and...
I was very thankful that she showed me how to do it. And then I've pumped 3 or 4 times in the past week. I have no idea what day that was that she showed me how to do it.
It was way more complicated than I expected it to be. Like,
well, remember you kept saying like, just put the things on your boobs. Like, how hard can it be? And I was like, I looked at the pump and I cannot even explain to you how complicated this
is. Well, in my defense, the one that you have two different versions and that I was telling you to use the hippie one. That's just like a plastic jug that you squeeze.
Right.
But the one that you use that actually works, it's like,
it's a hospital grade pump.
It is like a Cronenberg device that, it's horrifying. Yeah. And it's like you have to, you're punching numbers into it the whole time it's going. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's really complicated.
It's like you have to put in the number from Lost like 10 times while it's going.
Yeah. But I feel like every time I do it, it gets a little bit easier. The thing that surprised me about pumping, I don't know why I was picturing that it was like a quick thing, but it's basically like doing a full feeding just without the baby. So it's like, it's half an hour of my time. I'm sitting there with like these things attached to my boobs. It's pulling really aggressively.
You thought it was going to be like a really efficient sort of fire hose delivery into a bottle. That's sort of what I imagined too.
Yeah. Like I thought it was a machine that like did something, but it's literally just
like the kid couldn't step it up. So this machine's
right.
going to do it.
Yeah. Right. But I think he's actually better at it than the machine is.
Interesting.
He's built for it.
Yeah.
But, I feel like we've been doing pretty well. We get like I get 3 ounces of milk on each side every time I do it. So there's been a number of times where it's like, we're able to leave the baby with my mom or we can go somewhere in the car and we can give him a bottle. Like if I have to run in somewhere. So that helped a ton with that feeling of feeling trapped that I still feel pretty trapped, but I don't feel completely trapped.
And can you describe the machine? It's basically a robot baby with a telephone number pad on its chest, right?
Yeah. It is like, it has a really cute shape and then you turn it on and it's like, insert 18 numbers and we'll start hurting your boobs. It works.
Crazy. But it is strange that you have two devices to do this. And one is just like, squeeze this. It's like
the haka he's talking about.
The very
crude,
it's like a manual device. And the other one is
extremely complicated.
Extremely high tech.
Yeah. I don't really understand. So the reason you have to put multiple numbers in is because it's like, it's trying to recreate what the baby does. So it's like, there's a certain kind of sucking until your milk lets down. And then there's the part where he's actually eating. And then there's a part at the end where he's like sucking more slowly. And that's how it knows to stop giving him milk. But you have to manually put in, like, I don't know why I can't just push like 1, 2, and then 3. I have to select specific numbers, which are like 74, 58, and 32 or something.
Yeah.
I kept asking the doula when she was explaining these to me. I was like, what do these numbers mean? And she was like, I have no idea.
They open the hatch on the
island.
Nobody
knows. It's so weird. It's such a stupid way to design it. Why are the other numbers even there? I don't understand.
I don't know.
It's so confusing.
In the end, none of this makes sense because the flight went down and we're all just in purgatory.
Or at least the two of us are.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of us being in purgatory, segue.
Oh.
Another feeling that we've been having over the past few weeks is extreme jealousy and resentment of all of our friends who don't have babies. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's one way to phrase it.
We probably both should just like stop looking at Instagram until we get past this. But yeah. Again, I said this last time, but like I'm just on my phone all the time because I'm breastfeeding for like 4 hours every day and it's hard to reach anything that isn't my phone. So I'm just like staring at Instagram and I just see people like going on vacation. I don't even know. What do people do? Sitting, watching TV.
Yeah. Shout out to every 40 something out there who's really proud that they rode a bike today.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I would love to ride it. Not that I would ride a bike, but in theory, I would love to have the option.
Yeah. It's just that I don't want to shit all over everybody's activities and whatnot.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. But I'm just saying that is a very real.
I just really wish I was doing all the meaningless things that you people are doing.
Yeah.
Because they were really fun.
Yeah. But you're getting some time to do meaningless things. You raked up some sticks the other day.
Yeah.
You burned some trash.
I'm going to say this freely because it is legal in the state of New York. Yesterday I vaped some marijuana.
Because yesterday was 420.
And then I mowed the lawn and it was the most fun I have had in a very long time.
In approximately 4 weeks, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to some music. The sun was shining. I felt like I was driving a little Mars rover around mowing the lawn. Yeah. It was glorious.
Yeah. See, you still have fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are many people looking at our boring Instagrams of our boring baby and saying, that looks amazing. They had a baby. I want a baby. That'll make me happy. You know?
Oh, definitely.
Like, remember, isn't it weird that I guess it's not that weird. I understand why it happened, but I went from being so jealous and resentful of the Instagrams of people who were posting baby pictures to now being so jealous and resentful of people who don't post baby pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have something to take a picture of other than a baby.
Yeah.
You haven't been staring at a baby for the last 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know?
It is. It is.
Life.
We're all on a different journey here on this big blue marble.
Time is a flat circle. Ooh, and you'll never
watch
be
that
happy.
Again.
The whole show?
Yeah.
I guess.
Just the first season.
We have a lot of downtime.
Oh, wait. We should watch the third season too, because that had... What's his name from those? What's that guy's name? Stephen Dorff. I really thought that was going to be Stephen Dorff's big comeback. He was really great in it. So, okay. Sorry, everybody.
maybe we'll.
This is actually the way that we're plugging our new podcast.
Stephen Dorff. I couldn't think of any puns.
The Dorff cast?
Dorff cast.
This guy. Actually, Maya doesn't know anything about this. This is a podcast that I'm launching. It's called Dorff on Dorff. And it's co-hosted by myself and Stephen Dorff. And we are watching all of the Dorff movies, not Stephen Dorff, but the little Dorff guy.
are you saying Dorff?
No, Dorff.
Who's the little Dorff guy?
Tim from the Carol Burnett show.
I have no idea.
He did this character called Dorff where he stood on his knees.
Oh, you told me about this before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Who is Stephen Dorff?
He's that really cool guy who was in the first Blade movie. He was the bad guy.
I don't know.
He's sort of like a low budget Ethan Hawke back in the day.
Okay.
Anyway, this dog is biting me so hard right now.
Okay, say no.
No.
Just say it calmly. You don't have to. And now hand him his toy. Don't throw it because he'll think you're playing. This is now a dog training podcast sponsored by Petco.
Dorff on dogs. Stephen is really late, so we got started without him. Okay.
Okay. So breastfeeding has gone better. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about breastfeeding, after we recorded our last episode, I posted a thing on Instagram and it was my first like embarrassing mom post. Before we had started pumping, I was just trying to figure out like, what's my plan here for breastfeeding and pumping and formula? Like, how do I ever go back to work? And I was feeling really overwhelmed and confused. You know, my nipples hurt all the time. They still do, by the way, just constant. What do you call it when they chafing? It's horrible. But anyway, I posted this thing and I heard back from like 20 or 30 people who follow me who are moms. And I got so much good advice and reassurance and commiseration and like sympathy. And it was the best. Like, and now it's been really nice because I've made this connection with all these different moms. And now if I have a different question, I'll like hit a few of them up and ask if they have opinions on it. And I think the thing is like everyone who's been through this is so eager to help other people who are going through it. Like I am too. I want to protect other people from this as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting a lot of helpful feedback from my friends.
Have you?
They've either been saying sucks to be you or doesn't seem too hard. So
some of your friends have been really helpful. You're talking about people who like don't have kids, right?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Some of my friends have been very helpful.
Yeah.
And my friends who do not have kids have been very helpful to the best of their ability.
I think they've been very sympathetic. And, So I got all this advice from all these moms. And what was fascinating was, first of all, way more people than I thought did exclusive formula feeding from birth, which like made me feel a lot better about whenever I decide to switch to formula. I really loved the people who responded and they were like, I just didn't want to breastfeed. And so I didn't. And now I have smart, normal kids, like everything. It's really totally fine.
Yeah.
But
I was exclusively formula fed, and based on the amount of fan mail we received for my humor.
You're definitely funny. I don't know. Based on how much you say like, I'm not sure about the intelligence part, but you know, that's all right. You win some, you lose some.
Touche.
But anyway, I got all this great, like, you know, helpful advice, and I got into these pretty deep conversations with people I haven't talked to in like 20 years. But the common thread was every single person who I was talking to about this stuff said that the one thing that they wish they had done differently was just do the thing that worked for their family and not worry about it.
Right.
Whether that was getting help breastfeeding, or whether that was switching to formula, or whether that was like exclusively pumping because breastfeeding wasn't working, or just talking to a professional, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
And every single person who I heard from didn't feel like they could do that in the moment. And they were like, if I could help you with one thing, it's just do what works. And you, like, you will not regret doing that. What you will regret doing is wasting all your time being miserable, because that's going to make you a bad mom. And I guess that should have been obvious, but like hearing it so consistently from so many different people in so many different situations was really enlightening for me.
Yeah. I mean, that is very in line with the advice we got from that one doctor right before we left.
The one who said like, fuck everything, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The only person we liked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, if that helps someone else out there who's going through it, just, if you need to switch to formula, do it. If you need to supplement with formula, that's fine. If you hate breastfeeding, you don't need another reason to stop breastfeeding. And the other thing I'll say is the last time we went to our pediatrician a couple weeks ago, I talked to him about this, like the timing of everything, because I was feeling more confident after hearing this stuff. And his advice was, if you can make it to 2 months, like that's, you know, he will get the most benefit out of the first 2 months of breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And then if you continue seeing benefits after that, great. And if not, it's okay if you want to, you know, start weaning him off and switching to formula. And that made me feel like that's my goal. Is I've made it a month, I'm going to make it another month, and that feels doable, especially now that we're supplementing with like bottles. But I do think when I go back to work, which is in about a month, I'm going to at least supplement with formula and then see what happens.
Yeah, I think that there's like any one bit of advice that we could probably confidently give at this point. Forget all the preconceived notions that you had about like how things are supposed to work, or like what you've read about like what should be the ideal situation. Because most of those are just like imaginary bars that you're setting for yourself that you're not going to hit, and you will feel like a failure.
Totally.
And you know what? The baby doesn't know about any of that stuff.
The baby does not care. Well, yeah. He prefers breasts to bottles.
Sure.
But he will eat from a bottle if he's hungry.
Yeah.
But generally, yeah.
Okay. You're muddying the waters here a little bit. But
Eric?
Listen, as the one who's breastfeeding this child, I think that I have a lot of opinions about this. I'm the one who's sitting up all night long with the baby suckling as I watch Peaky Blinders on Showtime, now streaming on its fifth season. Listen, breastfeed your baby. Don't breastfeed your baby. It doesn't matter. Just watch Suits on USA. Characters welcome. Okay.
I thought you were going to say fed is best, which is what everybody says. Just feed your baby is the. Oh, I was going to say the other thing we have to talk about is the Boppy Lounger.
The Boppy Lounger. Oh yeah, that's been working out really well.
The Boppy Lounger. I might be the reason I like my baby now, honestly.
Yeah.
We have all, one of the things we registered for was like, it made me think of it because you were like all these preconceived notions.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did stupidly was I added everything to my registry that I heard you're like supposed to have for a baby. Yeah. And I ignored the advice that was like, maybe chill out and see what your baby actually likes before you buy everything or ask other people to buy stuff for you. So we have all these fancy, like we have the Dock-a-Tot, we have the Mama Roo. or
chair that looks like it's for doing spaceship. Like G-force testing at the NASA headquarters in Alabama.
We have the baby Bjorn bouncer.
And he hates it, by the way.
The ergo baby carrier. Yeah. He hates all of them.
Yeah.
And we've been using them. The baby Bjorn bouncer was okay.
But yeah. That one is pretty good in the mornings when he needs to be like occupied.
Only for a period of time. It's like he has to be in a certain mood. And so we've just been kind of like, we try and put him in one. If he's unhappy, we move him to another, but it's been kind of like, why, you know, it mostly just like holding him until he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot that I had this Boppy lounger. It costs like $20. It's like the cheapest of all of them by far.
It's basically just like a fancy hemorrhoid donut.
Yeah. It's just like a pillow, but it's in this very specific shape that he loves. Cause he's like, he's a little bit upright, but he's surrounded by a pillow and his legs can be out straight. So he can like kick around and it helps him when he has to poop also.
Yeah.
But he's just like so happy in there. So was it yesterday or the day before? He was just sitting in there awake for like 3 hours while I sat next to him doing other stuff. And he was like cooing and looking around and having a great time.
Watching Night Court, now streaming on Peacock.
So yeah, Boppy Lounger.
Yeah.
Just the best. So that and the Snoo are so far the two things that we don't regret buying for the baby.
Yeah, totally agree.
Didn't need anything else really. And then I thought just really quick, maybe we can just follow up on my C-section recovery.
Yeah.
I feel basically totally healed.
Really?
Yeah, I feel basically totally normal. And I went to the OBGYN, what was that, last week or something for my 3 week checkup. Yeah. And it was funny cause they put this stuff on top of the scar. It was like paper or a bandage or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
like, and I had just been kind of like ignoring the whole situation. Cause all they told me in the hospital was like, don't get water directly on it. Like we'll check it out at your 3 week thing. So I wasn't really looking at it much and I was just kind of, you know, trying not to mess it up.
Yeah.
And I said that to the midwife, who actually was the same one who was involved with our C-section when that whole thing went down. But so she was asking me like how it's feeling and how it's looking. And I was like, I don't know. I've been just kind of like, you know, letting it go, like trying not to mess it up. And I think she interpreted that as like me avoiding it and being upset about it. And so she gave me this whole, she took off the bandage so she could check out the scar, said it was healing beautifully, but she gave me this whole really nice speech about how important it is for me to like spend some time looking at the scar and understanding that it's part of me now. And like, you know, she was like, I know this wasn't how you wanted your birth to go. Like most people don't plan for their birth to go this way, but it's your story and it's part of you. And the most important thing is it's how you got your boy.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so nice. That unnecessary because nice. I wasn't worried about it.
You weren't having like the kind of like body image crisis that she thought you were having.
But it was really sweet. Yeah. I really liked that.
It's really astonishing. I mean, I wouldn't encourage you or anyone to think too deeply about like what you went through surgically, but it's amazing that that happened.
And now
4 weeks later, you're just like normal.
I know. I'm a little fat, but even that's getting better, I think.
Well, over nine months, you had
less fat than I thought I would be. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I think you look great.
Thank you. Remember when I showed you my scar the other day? Cause I didn't want to look at it.
Yeah. It was like nothing.
Yeah. And I have since looked at it and it just looks like a little tiny line. Like you can barely even see it. I think they've gotten better at doing C-sections, or maybe I just had the wrong idea about what those, I was picturing like a giant, you know, those scars where it's like, you can see the stitches on it. But anyway, yeah, I feel great. Like
it's amazing.
Yeah. Last time we recorded, I asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy you are with your life right now.
Oh, right.
I think you were like a 2.
Yeah, I think I said 2, and then to appease you, I said 4 or 5.
Yeah, but you were a 2, realistically.
Yeah, I was a hard 2.
I think I said I was like a 4 or 5.
I'm going to give myself a 5.5.
Whoa, you're in the positive.
Yeah, 5 being totally neutral.
But still.
Yeah, I'm going to say 5.5.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We're inching forward, you know.
I'm so happy.
If you asked me 2 days ago.
0.
Yeah. Just terrible.
Yeah. But that's great.
Yeah.
Would you say, is this your peak? Or maybe your peak was riding on the lawnmower yesterday? Were you like a 10?
I think I peaked yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that I've been, after hitting rock bottom emotionally and having some time to think, and also the way we've been kind of working together to, you know, manage our time and effort. I feel like it's been a upward trajectory.
Yeah. Something I really liked that you did the other day, I don't remember what it was. We had kind of like a couple off days last week.
Yeah.
Remember? I don't remember what set it off. I think we were just tired, but it got better when you like sat down and said, I feel like we're a little off right now and we should talk about it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that.
Well, if there's anything we're good at, it's over communicating, I would say.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a really blessing and a curse.
It's really just because we like to hear ourselves talk.
Yeah. Sometimes you just I don't know.
What?
I was trying to think of something funny to say. I'm sorry. I just drifted off. I got so tired. I was like, sometimes I...
Well, anyway, so I think we're doing okay. We've had some dark times and some good times. Neither of us blame the baby for any of this.
No, he seems cool.
Yeah. What did you say the other day? You were like, I like Benny. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he does.
Seems fine.
Seems all right. Seems like a straight shooter.
He continues to seem like a pretty chill baby, which we appreciate. My friend does astrology readings, and she said that based on his birth chart, he seems like I didn't even tell you this. I talked to her the other day, and she said that it seems like he's going to be a really easygoing person.
I like that.
Go with the flow. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's good because she was like, I think the way it's going to go is like, you know, you and Eric are going to have really strong opinions and Benny's just going to kind of be like, okay, yeah, I'll go with that. And I think that's the only way it could go because you and I are such extreme.
Well, that's not going to stop me from trying to indoctrinate him with my.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
It's not a challenge. Anyway. I continue to feel like people should think carefully before they get pregnant.
Yes.
And know what they're getting into. But I also feel like, you know, we're a month in, I'm sure there's a lot more excruciating things to come, but I do feel like now that I can look back on the first, 4 weeks, I think that the biggest issue is the exhaustion and there's no way to really prepare for that. But I feel better feeling like we were upset because we were so tired and not because we like ruined our lives having a baby.
Yeah. I could see it becoming a trap where you vent like the madness that sort of starts to creep in with the exhaustion. I could see venting that in a really unhealthy way if you did not have like a very actively supportive
or if you didn't want a baby or
yeah.
you had a really demanding job and you didn't get parental leave. Like, I think.
Right. And that's what I like in a previous episode, we were talking about how, like, if there is anything you got going on that you think a baby's going to solve, it's probably
going to exacerbate
those issues.
Yeah. Also, it's okay to not have a kid if you don't want one.
Yeah.
Don't have a kid just because somebody else tells you that they want to have one. Like those people on couples therapy.
Yeah. Maybe just get like a Miata, you know?
Why a Miata?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a funny car. maybe get a Lamborghini. In the amount of money that we're going to spend on this kid the next how many years, you could definitely at least lease a Lamborghini.
Sure. Should we lease a Lamborghini?
Well, we got the kid. We can't do both.
Oh, right. Maybe he'll lease a Lamborghini.
It's an either or.
Right. Okay. Anything else that you wanted to express here?
No, I think I have squeezed all the juice out of my brain at this point. Okay. That's pretty much all I got.
Okay. Quick reminder that if you want to, you can email us. You can send in a voice message. There's a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. If you have a kid, we hope that you are enjoying it. If you are thinking about having a kid, we hope you're really thinking about it.
Yep.
And if you're pregnant, good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know what our next episode will be, but we'll know it when we see it.
Yeah. What was this one? Emotions?
This was like the first month, but it was mostly just about our feelings.
Yeah. We're trying to like be thematic in some way.
Yeah. I do feel like I regret a little bit that we didn't record the other day when you were super upset because, again, I feel like we're not really getting across the extent of the how difficult it is.
I'm not sure that we need to commit that level of darkness to a recording. We might have like welfare checks coming. I was having a very difficult time seeing any positives in anything and being able to foresee any positive outcomes in anything. Yeah. So it was,
But the thing that people can learn from that is if you're feeling that way, take a nap and then see how you feel.
Take a nap and stop reading the news.
Yeah.
And get off social media. Yeah. Just take a nap and...
Take a nap and do a little digital cleanse.
Yeah. Hit the vape.
Maybe
blow
take
the lawn.
A shower or a bath or something.
Oh, take a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll fix you right up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's everything.
Don't forget to tune into Couples Therapy on Showtime. Season 2 is streaming now.
Yeah. And remember, coming back this fall, Rizzoli and Isles. streaming on CBS. Is that the name of a show?
I don't know
why that's in my head. Is that a show?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, bye.